Thank the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This goes along this morning with what I want to teach you about creating the right habitat, the right environment for God to move. He will not move in strife and hatred and bitterness and anger. And all. He will not. But he will move where there's harmony and where there's unity. For when they came together in the upper room, said they were of one mind and one accord. Amen. And suddenly the Spirit, and I'm telling you, when the church gets together and begins to worship God together, and we forget the cares of this life behind and who don't like who and what you got to do tomorrow, it invites the presence of God into the service. It invites the presence of God into your worship. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. While you're standing, let's go to Deuteronomy 26 and 15, and you'll see what I'm talking about this morning. Deuteronomy 26 and 15. Look down, the writer is saying, from thy holy habitation. From heaven. Heaven is a holy habitation. And bless thy people, Israel. Today, we're God's people just like Israel was. Not only bless the people, but the land which thou hast given us. As thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I want to teach this morning. I want to help you understand this morning the habitat of God. The habitat of our God. What is God comfortable with and what is he not comfortable with? Lord, I come before you this morning. I ask for your blessings and your mercies upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit that we feel moving in our midst this morning. Let it continue on through the entire service and leave with us this morning as we bring it to the rest of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The request in this text this morning is that God would look down from his holy place and he would bless us on earth so that his will in heaven is also done on earth. Amen. Isn't that the Lord's prayer? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so the writer is saying, bless not only the people, but the land that you gave us. Let it be a holy habitation for us, like heaven is a holy habitation for you. Because he said, I bring you to a land that you can inhabit. And he said, I'm going to bring you to a land that floweth with milk and honey. That sounds like heaven to me. It sounds like heaven on earth to me. A place where it seems to be you can overcome troubles and woes and all these kind of things because the habitat is conducive for living. Amen. It's really difficult many times to worship God if your habitat's not right. Your surroundings are not right. The people that you surround yourself are not right. And so we want the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it depends on your habitat. It depends on your surroundings. It depends on your thinking. It depends on everything that you surround yourself with. The habitat for God must be the same on earth in you. No, that's not going to change out at PPG, and it's not going to change down over here at one of these other plants. But in you, it's got to change. To where your habitat and God's habitat are the same. Well, what is God's habitat? What is God's habitat? He operates in the habitat of holiness. And he only operates in the habitat of holiness. For God is holy. Lucifer found out that God does not tolerate unholiness in his habitation. It's his house. It's his dwelling. And you have a dwelling too, you know? Right here. This is the dwelling of God. And Lucifer found out that he tried to change the habitat. He tried to change, get followers to follow him and rise up against the God Almighty. And he found out that God only operates in holiness. And he cast him down. While we're having church this morning, can I tell you, in God's habitation and up in heaven, there are angels, there are seraphims flying around the throne saying one to another, holy, holy is the God Almighty. Holy, holy is God Almighty. Holy, holy is God Almighty. And that's going on all around the throne today as we have church. And what's going on in your throne? What's going on in your world? Are you creating a holy habitat for God to be sit on the throne in your life and rule and reign in your life this morning? He said in Leviticus 20 and 7, he said, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Now that's the Old Testament scripture which will reflect us today, right? Old Testament types and shadows of things to come. So we read in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. I'm going to talk a little bit about conversation in a minute. Because it is written, and I read it to you in Leviticus, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. If you want God to live inside of you and with you and in your household and go with you every place you go, he said, you need to be like I am. I won't stay in an unclean temple. I will not, he says. So I ask you this morning to check your habitat. Check your surroundings. Check what you look at. And that's why recently I've been telling you so much to what you listen to and what you watch. Those things should be a habitation for God. God ought to be, Jesus ought to be able to sit there right there with you. Amen. Right there with you and watch it with you. And if he can't sit there and watch it with you, guess what? He's not. He's not. You have abused the habitation that he says, I want to live with you. I want to encourage you. I want to be with you through everything you do. I want to be part of your life. But he's not going to be part of our life if our habitat is not conducive for Christian living. So we find in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? What is that? The house, the dwelling place, that the Spirit of God lives, dwells, abides inside of you. Amen. He's not here, but he wasn't here in this building before you got here. I know he's everywhere, but his presence came with you. He came with you this morning because we could all clear out of here and you wouldn't hear any voices. There's nobody, no praise would go up. He came with you this morning. And so he goes on to say, if any man defile the temple, which is that holy habitation of God on earth, then him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Amen. I think we're not really clear on this sometimes. We are a permanent fixture, house, dwelling of God. He doesn't like to move. How many of you like to move? Does anybody like to move? Nobody likes to move. But you know, some people are like gypsies with God. He moves in and out, and in and out, and in and out, and in and out. He wants to stay. He wants to abide, live with you each and every day. Let no man deceive himself. And this is really important. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Don't deceive yourself. Somebody said, well, I can still speak in tongues. Baloney. So what? Tongues won't get you to heaven. Well, I can still praise the Lord. I get goosebumps. Doesn't matter. The habitation's got to be right for God to live there. You know, there's a difference between a spark and a fire. Sometimes you get a spark, say, oh, I'm still alive. No, he wants to be burning in your life, alive in your life, a flame of fire in your life. Amen. So let me discuss this morning. Let me calm down, get back to my teaching voice. Whew. Let me talk about the habitation and what it really means. We see this word in the Bible, forms of it in the Bible. We see habitation, we see inhabitants, right? We see inhabits, like he inhabiteth the praise of his people. But it all comes from this word, habit. Habit. And how many of you have a habit? And all of you have a habit. Everybody's got a habit. You need habits. There's some things you need to do habitually, right? There are good habits and there are bad habits. And so as a noun, habit means to have or to hold or to possess. As a verb, it means to live and to abide and to dwell. You put these two together and that's what God is looking for, a place to live and dwell. He's looking for both of those things. So here's a good habit, all right? I go home every day to the same house, right? I get in the same bed. I come to the same church. I worship the same God every day. It's just habit. I don't think about when I leave the office, where do I want to stay tonight? Which bed do I want to stay? It's just habit. I just know where to turn. How many of you just as a habit, I was going to see my mother and they have the roadblock that goes, you know, some of y'all know, and roadblock. I can't tell you how many times I turned down there and forgot it was closed until I saw that and I had to go all the way around. And then Melanie's house is a little further than her Momo's house, and then I forgot to turn to go to Momo's house and I went on like I was going to Melanie's house because of habit. Because once I pass that point, I think I'm going to her house or to Mark's house. And so I just, this habit, it's a good habit to have, but sometimes habits can mess you up. So that's a good habit. Let me tell you a bad habit. I'm not going to look up because I don't know anybody that does this, chewing your fingernails. That's a bad habit. If you could look at what's underneath your fingernails and get a culture of that, you would find there's nothing but nastiness under your fingers and you're putting it in your mouth. That's a nasty habit. But let me tell you something, it's hard to break. It's hard to break. It's not easy to break that. People that start chewing on pencils later, trying to break that habit. Same thing with cigarettes and all these other things that become, they're bad habits. So, from this word habit, we get the word inhabitants, which means those that live with a habit. Amen, that lives with a habit. The habitat, now listen close, I want you to understand this. Habitat is the natural environment in which one lives. It's not the phoniness, it's not the made-up stuff, it's not artificialness, it's the natural, the habitat. It is the natural environment in which one lives. If you catch a fish, you have to catch him in water, right? And you take a fish out of water and you put him out of his habitat where he knows how to swim and you just put him on the bank. You think he's going to try to swim, but he flounces back and forth and he's gasping for air and before long he dies. Why? He is out of his habitat. It's natural for him to be in the water, and if you don't put him back in the water soon, he dies. But on the other hand, you take the man that caught the fish and put him underwater. And it won't be long, he's flouncing and trying to get out, and before long, he drowns. Why? He's out of his natural habitat. So I want to tell you this morning, if you want to find earthworms, where do you look? On the moon? No, in the earth, right? If you want to find birds, look in the air. If you want to find God, look for holiness. If you want to find God, look where God lives. He lives in holiness. Holiness is not always what people describe, the length of something. It's not that. It is the culture in which you live. It's the habitat that surrounds you. Amen. The saints of God should live in a habitation that God is just welcome to walk in on. Welcome to come in. It's not like somebody calls, hey, we're coming by your house. Oh, my God, let me start putting this stuff up. You know, and you start stuffing, if they open the closet, stuff would fall out. You start dusting everything because somebody's coming to your house and you don't want them to think you live in a nasty habitation, right? God lives in you. He lives with you. He doesn't just say, I'm knocking your door. Hey, can I come in today? He lives with you. I don't knock on the door and say, Jerry, can I come home tonight? She lives with me. And the same is true with God. He lives with me. I don't have to say, God, come into my life. God, I need you today. He's already with me. He knows I need help. That's how he knows what I need before I ask, because he lives with me. And he knows what I need because he's living with me when it happens. Oh, my God. The habit is a natural surrounding that is conducive for life and for growth. Someone said, who would win a fight, a bear or a lion or a polar bear or a zebra? It all depends on where the fight happens. If it's on ice, the polar bear is going to win every time. The lion don't have a chance. But if it's in the mountains, the polar bear don't have a chance. It's all about the surroundings of where you fight the battles. Amen. And I want to tell you, God fights all my battles when it's in holiness. When I abide in holiness, he said, this battle ain't yours, it's mine. I'll take care of this. All I want you to do is sing about the beauty. You know what I'm talking about, Jehoshaphat. Just sing of the beauty of holiness and I'll fight your battles. Anytime you get outside of your environment, you struggle, right? It's like some people you can just talk to freely, but you get to some stranger and you're just like, you don't know what to say. You don't know, I hope I didn't sound stupid and all this kind of stuff because you're outside your habitat, your environment. The children of Israel were delivered out of Egyptian bondage and the control of Pharaoh for one reason. It was because they could not worship God. They could not worship God. They had pyramids, taskmasters, and all the things that were not conducive for their worship to God. And so all they asked Pharaoh to do is let us go into the wilderness. Well, the wilderness don't look like a habitat that be, oh no, it doesn't matter. See, you don't need sound systems and lights and even a microphone to get God to move. We think we have to have all this. That's not God's habitat. Sometimes that's a hindrance and not a habitat. He said, let us go into the wilderness that we may worship our God. What they're saying is, let us get away from this, that we may go and worship our God without this bothering us. Amen. So watch what happens in Exodus 15:1. The Red Sea is opened and they've crossed over. And here's what happens immediately after they cross over. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. Look how they're, whoo, boy, they're pumping God up now. And I will prepare him an habitation. I'm going to make him a place permanently. Now that we're in the wilderness, now that we're away from Pharaoh, all we wanted to do was on the other side was go into the wilderness and go back to work. Go into the wilderness, go back into bondage. Go into the wilderness, go back to bondage. But now we want to create, now that we're across this, we're in nothing but a wilderness, but we can still create a habitation for our God. Let me tell you, no matter what you're going through, where you're at in life, you can still create the right habitation for God to answer your prayers and be with you. Yes, you can. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's house. I will exalt him. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth these people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. God, you're bringing us into a land that flows with milk and honey, where you will drive out the current inhabitants of the land and put us in there. He would bring them into this place he called a holy habitation. But when they got there, he told them, you get rid of everything they've got. Now, you're going to take over the houses, their land, their groves, their wells. You're going to take over all of that, and you're going to possess that. But everything they had, all their pictures, all their prints, all their phone numbers, all their cell phones, all this kind of stuff, all their pyramids, all their statues, all their idols, anything that pertained to them, get rid of it. Well, I'm just going to keep it in a drawer. Rachel tried that. Well, I'm just going to hide it in my tent. Achan tried that. You've got to create a habitat where you don't have to hide anything. I've often said, if you got to hide, something's wrong. So God was bringing them out from the Red Sea, across the Red Sea, into a wilderness land, that he might bring them into a habitation in which that was conducive for them to, you know, God wants to help you through your problems. Because when your mind's on all this other stuff, it's not conducive for worshiping God. So God wants to bring you to a land of peace. Because when you're in peace, then you can praise God, and time's not a problem. You don't have to tend to this, you don't have to tend to that. It's just you and God. But the problem was, before they got to the habitation that God wanted to bring them to, they began to murmur and complain. And God don't do good with that. He doesn't really do good with complaining and criticism and all these kind of things. So God delivered them out, but they never were delivered into the habitation of God, not that generation, because they had the chance to praise God and thank God for what he had done, and now they're murmuring and complaining. And I wonder sometimes, God heals us, he saves us, he saves us out of our problem. Why does he do that? So to create a habitation more conducive for you to worship him. And then, unfortunately, many times we go back to our old ways. So let me inform you this morning what the habitat of God consists of. It is the natural things of God. The habitat of God is the natural things of God. The natural things of God are the supernatural things of men. The natural things of God are the supernatural things of men. The natural things of God cannot be produced by man alone without his spirit. But through the spirit, you can create a habitat in which God feels welcomed in. We sing the song, Welcome, Holy Spirit. God wants to plant the seed, his word, inside of you, and it bring forth a harvest that is fruitful to your life. When we look at Galatians 5:22, I want to show you the supernatural. Somebody said, oh, raising the dead, huh? praise the Lord, going to see somebody get up out of a wheelchair. I'm talking about greater than that. Greater than that are these supernatural things that you will never have if you walk in the flesh. But this fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me tell you, if you don't have God, you don't have love. For God is love. Ooh. So this fruit comes from a seed, right? The Spirit, it comes from His Word. The Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It is goodness. It is faith. It is meekness. It is temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. The things of God are supernatural to man because he cannot do them without the love of God in him. No one without the love of God can possess this kind of love, this kind of peace, this kind of gentleness and goodness. Peter said it this way, for these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, but hath forgotten that he was purged from the old sins. You see, this fruit of the Spirit is when you are purged from the old habits that you used to have. I don't have to think, am I going to church this Sunday or not? I don't know if I'm going to go. I have to see what's going on. There's a woman one time was getting ready for church, and she her husband wasn't getting ready, and she said, honey, we have church tonight. He's reading the paper. He says, I ain't going. And she said, you're not going? She said, no. In fact, he said, I'm not ever going out there to that church again. Back to reading his paper. And she said, well, give me two good reasons why you're not going to church. He said, all right. Number one, those people out there don't like me. She said, well, give me the second one. He said, I don't like them either. And then he said, well, wait a minute. You give me two good reasons why I should go. She said, I'll tell you. First good reason is, honey, we've been going out there for 20 years. He said, okay, what's the second one? She said, you're the pastor. I'm still coming. I'm still coming. Let me look at the habitation, you see, that God will not work in. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. No one has to make me do these things. No one made you come to church. Somebody said, y'all go to church. I love coming to church. I love it. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. You see, here's the works of the flesh. This is the old person we all were, okay? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, etc. Of which I tell you before, and as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God's not going to live in you if you have these things. You have to create a habitat in which God is plenty welcome to live inside. You put a doormat out there. I've never understood. You put a doormat out there that says welcome, and then you wipe your feet on it. Sometimes I'm afraid we use God like a doormat. I don't want to have an unfruitful habitat. I want to be fruitful in living for God. Now, quickly, if I can just get this in real quick. When you go back and you look at Moses and Miriam and Aaron, they've crossed the Red Sea, and boy, Miriam, you know, she's excited. She gets her a tambourine. You know, here's what she says. She says, the Lord hath reigned forever and forever, for the horse of Pharaoh went in with the chariots and with the horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. Oh, thank God for you killed our enemies. But the children of Israel went out on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, okay, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, the to-be high priest, okay, took timbrels or tambourines in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines or trembles and dances. Boy, they got a line. She's the head lady, she's got that tamarind, she's going, and they're all following her, they're singing songs unto the Lord. And Miriam answered them, said, sing to ye to the Lord. He hath triumphed glorious, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. It was easy to worship God then. It was so easy. I mean, your enemies, he told them, the enemies you see, you'll see no more. Well, they were washed up, and boy, she was glad about it. But when you look a little further, when the habitat changed, then God changed too. This same Miriam and this same Aaron that would be the high priest, watch what happens now. They all of a sudden get this critical spirit in Numbers 20, Numbers 12 and 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Do you know who saved Moses? Miriam. Miriam was the one that saw him in the water when he was floating with the crocodiles. Right? That's right. And his brother Aaron, these two, I believe, were older. Moses was probably the baby, and now the baby's got the voice. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Sure enough, he did. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken by Moses, only by Moses? See, this, what Moses did prompted them to be critical of him and his relationship with God. Hath he not spoken also by us? Am I not a prophetess? And are you not the high priest? How come we don't have to listen to him? He's the little baby of the family. And the Lord heard it. Mm-hmm. Now the man Moses was very meek. Yeah, he sure was. Above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. He didn't retaliate, even with that. And I'm going to tell you why. Moses realized that the judgments of God are better than the retaliation of men. He realized that he heard it. I'll let him take care of it. We all need to learn that. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, and he said this, come out ye three. Come on. Under the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. Ooh, that's like meet me in my office. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, just like he always did, and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam a little further, and they both came forth. And Moses is standing back, get the picture, and here they come, knees knocking, trembling. Daddy's home. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. It's like, did you hear from me? I'll let you know. But watch this. My servant Moses, it's not so with him, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. It's not going to be by dream or secrecy. It's going to be mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. Like, I wonder if that was the Lord, if that wasn't the Lord. I wonder what that, no, he knows what I mean. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. He didn't see God face to face, as some people think, because the Bible says no one saw God face to face and lived. He saw a similitude of God, as the scripture says. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? What's it to you? Let me tell you, your conversation and the comments that you make get you in more trouble than anything else. It is your tongue and your mouth that get you in more trouble than anything you do. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. If they'd have kept their mouth shut. The anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, the prophetess Miriam became leprous. The leprous prophetess. White as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon. Now he's like Moses. I'm going to talk to Moses now. And Moses is now carrying out what a high priest does. He's now doing what he would be called to do. He goes on behalf of Miriam for her sins and his too. And he goes to Moses, which was a type of Savior. lay not this sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. And so sometimes I wonder this morning if the circumstances that we find ourselves in, is it because of our own conversations? Is it because you find yourself in the trouble you keep finding yourself in? Is it not because God is listening to what you're saying and to what you're doing? And then when he departs out of that habitation, you see how quick it changed? One day it's tambourine and the next day it's leprosy. Why? The habitat changed. She got out of the habitat that God inhabits, which is the praise of his people, and got into this critical thing that she had no business talking about. And whenever you get outside of that habitat of praise and worshiping God, God's with you. But when you start the critical path, God says, oh, no, 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 no. You could have talked about the world, perhaps, and got away with it, but this is my man. You're talking about him, you're talking about me. It's like I've told you before, anybody beat you up, they might as well beat me up. Because I'm with you, and you're with me, and we should stick that way together. So this same one that had the tambourine now has leprosy. Instead of praising God, they're criticizing Moses. So all of this changed because she quit praising God for what he had done and started being critical. The murmuring and the complaining is why they didn't go in. I've often said, if you don't like something, just walk away from it. You should never punch anybody on your way out. In my business, I've had people leave, and they come and they go sometimes. And sometimes in churches, I say it's like flies on a screen door. Some wanting in, some wanting out. But whenever you leave, never punch anybody. You may want to come back. And they do. And it needs to be right. I got to get out of here. Let me read you this. I'm gone. Now, I'll be back for the second service, but I'm going to. Solomon built a temple for God and for God only. And it was so ornate, it was unreal. I mean, I was reading about it last night. I got tired of reading all the gold and all the doors. And I got like, Lord, have mercy. It was wonderful. In fact, the Queen of Sheba said the half has not been told of the magnitude and his servants and how he orders things. Well, he had everything ready for the old box to come into the temple. He had the musicians ready. He had the priests ready. He had everything ready. And when the habitat was right, they all began to praise the Lord. And what happened? That cloud came down. The glory came down. And it filled that whole house so that the ministers could not even minister. It was so thick in there with the presence of God. That's what happens in your life when you get the habitat right. David said this. He said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even my Most High, thy habitation. Wow. There shall no evil. When this is what happens when God lives with you. God's not going to take evil. He's not going to take it. If he lives with you, he's going to protect you too. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I want God to live with me. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the snake, and the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. Man, when your love is upon him, he said, I'm going to deliver him. You always deliver the ones you love first. If there's a burning building here, I'm sorry, I'm saving my kids first. I'm sorry. That's what happens. And you should too. You should do the same. And so when God lives with you, he said, I'm sorry, but I'm saving my kids first. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll be with him through this trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. Amen. I just want to tell you as I close that God wants to live with you. Create the right habitat that is conducive for God to be comfortable to live with you, go with you every place you go. Then when you're in trouble, you don't have to cry, Lord, help me. No, he's there with you to help you. Are you understanding me? Amen. God bless you this morning. Take a quick break, and we'll be back for morning worship.